Welcome to the book club that sure isn't your mom's romance book club, but it is my mom's. I'm Ellen, and joining me is my mom. Hi, Mom. How's it going?
Hello, Ellen. Excellent.
Good. So today we are going to be talking about Magnate by Joanna Shoup, and then later about the things that draw us to historical romance as a genre. But first, Mom, what have you been reading?
I've been reading The Lords of Honor, the Christy Caldwell series that was before the Christy Caldwell book that we read previously.
Yes.
And then I finished that, and I started reading Magnate, the book that we're doing today. And so right now I'm reading Baron, which is the second book in that series.
Oh, okay. So a little spoiler, Mom apparently liked it enough to read the second book, so.
Have you ever known me to read a book and then not read the series?
That's true. Okay, I read this past couple weeks Wedded by Scandal series by Stacey Reed. I bought it on your Kindle account, so it's also so little.
You're welcome.
Little insight into how we work. I have two Kindles. One is attached to my mom's Kindle account, so that I can read the books that she buys. Because she's a little more fast and loose with click buy than I am.
Apparently you're fast and loose with my one click buy as well.
Well, have you ever known me to not...
to not spend my money? Yeah. No, I have not.
So the first book in this series that I read was Accidentally Compromising the Duke, and basically, like, each book in the series, so there's three books so far. I can't tell if it's done or if she's going to write more, but she, so each book is about, like, basically these women trapping men into marriages in some way or another, either because, you know, they like them or because they accidentally... are trying to trap them. But it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It was weird, though. Like, the books felt really short, and I think that they're about 287 pages, and I think most of the books that we read are usually, like, 360 or something like that.
Around
so maybe that was
yeah.
why they... Because they are shorter, maybe that's why they felt shorter. But also... and this is, I know, something that you and I have talked a lot about, but they were Regency romances where these blushing virgins become pretty intense pretty quick. Where I'm like, wow, you're picking this up pretty fast, sweetheart.
No, don't ever let him touch you. But now I'm ready to do anything you want.
I didn't know what that was yesterday, but now I'm down to clown. they get pretty crazy pretty fast. And then right now I'm reading for a different book club that I'm in, The Hating Game by Sally Thorne, which is a contemporary romance that kind of was pretty big last year, and I never got around to reading it, so I'm reading it now. And Mom, I'm about 50% through. And when I get you to read contemporaries, this is one that you're going to read. I can already tell right now, because it is so bantery. You would love the banter. It's off
I do love me some banter.
It's like a workplace. They hate each other. It's like basically modern His Girl Friday, where they just like are always bickering and at each other. But it's basically to just mask this underlying sexual tension. It's been pretty good so far. I won't like say 100% that I love it yet because I'm not done, but it definitely had me hooked. So it's been good.
Oh, okay.
So today we're going to be talking about Magnate by Joanna Shoup. It's the first book in her Knickerbocker Club series, which follows kind of these titans of industry in New York during the Gilded Age. Now, the back cover description for this one reads, New York City's Gilded Age shimmers with unimaginable wealth and glittering power. The men of the Knickerbocker Club know this more than anyone else, but for one millionaire, the business of love is not what he expected. Born in the slums of Five Points, Emmett Kavanaugh climbed his way to the top of a booming steel empire and now holds court in an opulent Fifth Avenue mansion. His rise in stations, however, has done little to elevate his taste in women. He loathes the city's high society types, but a rebellious and beautiful blue blood just might change all that. Elizabeth Sloane's mind is filled with more than the latest parlor room gossip. Lizzie can play the stock exchange as deftly as New York's most accomplished brokers, but she needs a man to put her skills to use. Emmett reluctantly agrees when the stunning socialite asks him to back her trades and split the profits, but love and business make strange bedfellows, and as their fragile partnership begins to crack, they'll discover a passion more frenzied than the trading room floor. So we're about to get into spoiler territory, so skip ahead if you have not read the book. But Mom, what did you think of Magnate?
Well, first of all, before I say anything, anytime I think of Joanna Shoup's name, I always say, Shoup, Shoup. Baby, Shoup. So Shoup, Shoup, baby. Here we go, here we go, here we go again.
Mom, spitting the rhymes.
I can't think of her name without singing that song in my head.
Well, you know anyway. How much I love that song, but anyway, continue.
I liked this book a lot. I liked the setting. I kept envisioning Hello, Dolly, New York,
which
when I was reading the book.
I watched last night because we were talking about how this book reminded us of Hello, Dolly, and I was like, all I want to do is watch Hello, Dolly right now. So that's what I did last night, but continue.
And that's what they saw the shows, the Delmonicos, and they closed the town in a whirl.
And they didn't go home until they kissed a girl.
There you go. But that's what I was envisioning, the clothes and the glitz. And I loved the time period. Mm-hmm. I loved the sassy heroine, and I loved the, you know, we like the brooding heroes. Yes. There were some parts I had problems with.
Mm-hmm.
When they got married, first of all, up to the wedding, he had been so good to her. And he, you know, was just so charming and so sweet. And then she finds out there was a little...
blackmailing going on with...
Yeah, a little give and take to get her married.
Yeah.
And she just flies off the handle. I'm getting this annulled. There's no way I'm going to let him touch me. And I'm like... Okay, first of all, you can tell whatever you want to get your annulment, but let him touch you at least a little bit.
We know you want it, so.
Yeah, you've already talked about it a lot. So I thought, that's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to what she found out. Plus, she was drunk when she found out.
They both, though, because that was one of my... I also liked this book a lot, but that was also one of my beefs, was like, they're both pretty... knee-jerk reaction, you know,
right
to the extreme, where I was like, okay guys, let's calm down, let's evaluate. From
you both really like each other,
yeah,
so whatever these other circumstances are, anyway. But that's all. I have yet to read a book that I don't think, really, is that really how we're going to react to that situation?
Yeah, kind of true. So yeah, like you, the setting like totally made it for me, like to the point where I couldn't tell if I just loved this book because of the setting or if I liked it for other reasons as well. But it's just not a time period that I know a lot about. And at this point, I kind of feel like I know more about England in the 1800s than I do America.
New York.
Which I realize, like, you know, kind of our Regency and Victorian are set at a very different time period than this, but so yeah, so I really liked that, and I thought it was interesting. So besides kind of their knee-jerk reactions, I also kind of wish that one of them kind of had catalyst to resist each other a little bit more, because, like, from Jump Street, they're both just, like, pretty... into each other and like wanted each other, and I kind of wish that maybe like he you know, kind of put her at arm's length a little bit because he didn't think he deserved her, which he always felt that way in the book, but I kind of wish he like acted on it more than just like always right. thinking it, just because I felt like it would have added a little bit more intrigue to, you know, when they finally do hook up. But yeah, so those were kind of the main things, but then there's also some questions I came up with that kind of touch on some other things I thought about the book. Do you want to?
Okay, well, I'll let you ask your questions, because there was another thing I wanted to bring up, but if you want to...
No, go ahead.
...question me first. Well, also, when her old boyfriend comes into the picture...
Yeah.
I wanted her to be a little more get away. You know, she didn't like him, and he was just pursuing this, and I wanted her to be a little more forceful with the... You know, and then she, in the end, he ended up, you know... really turned out to be.
Yeah, because there was some, like, I felt inconsistencies to her character, and, like, obviously she's had no problem, like, voicing her opinion, you know, to him or to her brother, and
right.
I couldn't tell if, like, that was just because, you know, her best friend is his sister, so maybe she was kind of, you know, being a little more gentle with him to try and not kind of ruin that relationship, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, look, this is over. Get away from me. I don't want to ever see you again. You need to hit the road. And you're kind of bat crap crazy, but...
And he got, like, pretty crazy, like, pretty quickly. But I liked that, like, kind of, I think the point of him, of his character, was to put him into contrast to Emmett and, like, kind of the things that she admires about him.
It also gave Emmett a chance to come in and be the knight in shining armor.
Yes. Get your hands off my wife.
Were you touching my wife? Did she tell you not to?
Or no? It's a simple question. So what was the main difference you noticed between the heroes and heroines of kind of our typical Regency era Brits versus our Gilded Age Yanks?
Well, the speech.
Yeah, they have different swear words, which I found fun.
Which we appreciate swear words. I also liked the clothing styles were different, which I like.
Yeah.
Except the whole bustle thing. I don't get the whole bustle thing. Maybe it's because I'm already significantly blessed in that area. The thought of putting a bustle back there.
God bless you with a natural bustle.
No bustle necessary. but the men's clothes I really liked, you know, they seem more...
I wish that they weren't always, like, oiling down their hair, which I know was, like, a thing. But...
However, did you look at the men on the covers of these books? You must not scan the covers like I do, because
I don't.
I always look them up. I'm like, okay, let me see. The guys are good looking on the covers of these books.
Hey, we finally found some romance covers that mom doesn't have a grudge with.
The cover of the guy on the Audible book, and he's not as good looking. The guy on the actual book.
The audiobooks, really I don't go with the audiobooks. I don't know why they're sometimes different from the book. It must be like the distributor, you know, or something like that wants to change it, but... So a lot of this is going to be kind of like a difference in the time period and not just like UK versus America. But I think I kind of, you know, cause I usually, and I think all of us read usually a lot of like Victorian and Regency era, in England, but I kind of, found like the new money aspect kind of fun over here where it's a lot of kind of more self-made men and men who are, like, actually doing something with their lives as opposed to just...
That's what I was just going to say. It's not an inherited title. Like, everything over in England was always an inherited title. And it was all about the inheritance. I mean, the storylines are all around, you know, there was a second son whose brother died, and so now he's a duke. Mm-hmm. Where these stories are more like, I rose up from nothing, and look what I did. And even her brother, who's very rich, you know, was and, raised like, very old rich blood. And raised... In a very prominent family, but even he had to really scramble to keep things afloat. Yeah. So it's more of like, I had to work for what I've got and not just, I was handed what I got.
Yeah. Which I think like with Regency, like I feel like the heroes still in Regency era romance, they still like make kind of a to do about the fact that like he cares about his tenants and he's like working, you know, to keep these 8 estates that they have afloat, but I just kind of found kind of this aspect of, like, the younger country and, like, the newer money a little bit. It was different, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
The other thing that I was like, oh, this no chaperone thing is making these romances a lot easier. Like, the fact that they were able to, like, meet up for dinner. You know.
That's, even though it was a little scandalous still.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot about the, they did make a point, though, of her showing up in his office unchaperoned was a little scandalous, but it still wasn't to the point, like, things were,
but I feel like
okay, now she's ruined and she has to get married and
I don't know, just the fact that they were, like, able to go basically on a date was like, oh, this is kind of fun to have in a Regency or in a historical romance. And then the other thing I noticed, and I can't tell if this is a time period thing or a we're in America thing, but they drank a lot more in this book.
They drank a lot. And she got drunk a lot. She's like, oh, the champagne. She liked her champagne.
So, yeah, those were the main things. But it was fun. I, yeah, like we've kind of said, I just really found it, and maybe this just means I need to branch out more in my historical romances, but I just found it fun to kind of see a new time and a new place, and
It was fun. This is kind of off topic, but you know, last time we recorded, we talked about historical inaccuracies and and how the books aren't always accurate. And the book I'm reading right now, the heroine in the book that we read, she's pregnant in this book, and so she they're drinking, and everybody's drinking, and she's like, oh, I'll have a lemonade. I'm like, sure you're going to have a lemonade. You were like a total lush in the last book. And now, because you're pregnant, you're drinking lemonade. They didn't even know that you needed to drink lemonade back then when you were pregnant. So that's just, I'm just pointing that out.
I know that they didn't know that you you couldn't drink when you were pregnant, but did, like, maybe it was still kind of like, you can get sick when you get drunk. So
I don't know, but I mean, the whole not drinking while you're pregnant thing, that just came up, like, in my lifetime, so I can't imagine that it was a thing. And I'm kind of old, so it's been a while, but I can't imagine that it was a thing back then.
Okay, so the next question I came up with is, miscommunication is kind of a hallmark of the genre, right? But what is it that sometimes makes it more frustrating than other times? If that makes sense.
Well, first of all, these books are always written, you know, one part's her, and then they skip over to him, and then they skip over to her. So we know both thoughts for both characters. And so that's always a little frustrating. It's like, somebody just tell somebody something. But the miscommunication aspect is sometimes, like, so overwhelming that it will ruin the storyline for me. Not so much in this book. It was somewhat, I mean, we already explained some of the things that were kind of a little off on this book, but I guess because that's not the way I am, I don't hold stuff in, I'm not, or they'll talk about how outspoken a character is, like we were talking about with the, with
Elizabeth,
Lizzie, and in this book, she's so outspoken, and she'll tell anybody what she thinks, but then as soon as something's bothering her, she doesn't have the wherewithal to tell this guy, you know, what she's thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that seems a little...
Well, and sometimes I wonder because, you know, I think you raised me to kind of, if I'm presented with a situation, like, kind of look at something that somebody might say from, like, okay, I could take it to mean this, but I could also take it to mean this, which is the more logical, you know. I just feel like people in romance novels seem to sometimes be quick to, like, think the worst, and I can't tell if that's always, like, a character. Like, in this book, it can maybe be, like, you know, he thinks the worst because that's what he's always been faced with. You know, he grew up kind of in the slums and had a bad home life, and so he's not very trusting, and they talk about that.
And he doesn't really feel like he deserves her. Yeah. And...
But both of them were just so quick to be like, you know, oh, she's meeting up with Rutledge. She must be, you know, oh, yeah. She bought all my stock. She must be trying to destroy my company, and she must be paired up with her brother. And it's like, no, you know that that's her business. Like, why is this not making sense to you? I don't know.
Well, and then even when she tells him, she says, no, I just didn't want you to lose your company. I was trying to help you. And yeah. He's like, no, you're working with your brother. Yeah, it's just a kind of a, dude, calm down.
Yeah, and like I said, I can't tell if it bugs me more just because, like, I don't think that that's, I mean, because
we don't think that way.
Yeah, even with, like, friends and stuff like that, I always have to just be like, okay, I trust them to not be trying to, like, say the worst thing possible right now, so it must be this, you know? So, right. I don't know. I just get sometimes frustrated with them. And I think sometimes in books it's worse than other times. Sometimes.
Right. Well, and I think authors use it as a way to keep the plot line going.
And I get that. Okay, so I feel like the kind of, you know, the original plot started out with she wanted him to help back her brokerage firm. And I feel like that kind of becomes somewhat of a non-issue, especially kind of like from the snowstorm on. And I see this kind of happen in romance novels a bit, where the initial conflict kind of takes a back seat once the romance gets going. Now, are you fine when you see this happen? Because obviously we like the romance, or does it seem...
Well, I'll tell you the problem I have mostly is that the beginning of the book, she seemed like this very modern woman with modern ideas, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm moving forward with this company, and I don't care what everybody thinks of me, and I don't care what society says, and then as the story goes on, it's like, I just want to get married, and I want to be his wife, and it's like, okay, well, you just set feminism back, you know, about 100 years, but that's kind of the problem I have with it mostly. However, I know things that you don't know because I'm in the second book already, and she does continue on with her business.
No, I didn't ever think that she wasn't going to continue on with the business, and I think it's fine that, you know, she wants to be in a relationship with her husband and still, like, have this business. I think that's fine. But I just, okay, so, like, I don't know if this was just me, but she kept talking and talking and talking about how she, like, wanted to be on the floor. And I, just because I've read so many of these books, I was like, oh, there's for sure going to be a scene where, like, he takes her onto the floor, or, like, you know,
the stock exchange floor.
Yeah, the stock exchange, yeah, sorry.
Out of clarify.
Yeah. And so I just thought for sure that was going to happen. And I just felt like, I felt like there was maybe, like, missed opportunities with her being, like, this kind of first female stockbroker, right? Like, right. That maybe that there could have been more fun to be had with that I felt, like, went missing a bit. So I guess that's mainly what I thought about that. But.
And I would have liked to have seen more of a, like, building of her company. Like, she met with the guy the one time, and she sold a few stocks a couple times, but I would have liked to have really seen her, you know, see her company take off.
Yeah.
That really never happened in the book.
And to maybe, like, because, you know, there was so much, she got so much flack for, you know, wanting to start this company, maybe see her get some, like, retribution, you know?
Well, and I'm hoping as I continue on the series that they point some of that stuff out as it goes on. Because the series, of course, is around those guys that are in that Knickerbocker Club.
Yeah.
That.
By the way, I the first book in the series is a novella.
It's a novella. Yeah.
And when I read it, I was like, oh shoot, I should have maybe, like, had mom read that first, just because, you know, I'm always griping about reading books
not reading them in order.
But,
well, when I was reading the book and I was like, oh, this one guy, he already just got married. I'm betting this story is somewhere.
Yeah. So you can go back and read that if you want.
I will.
So these two get pretty steamy, and in one scene, like, literally steamy, pretty quickly. So did it seem more or less to you than normal? And do you see that as a result of the setting and time, or just where the author's style?
Well, I wouldn't say more. It was more. I've read books that were worse. I don't want to say worse, but, you know, have more.
Yeah, I got you.
Or worse. But books that had more sex in them. I liked the scene where they were stuck in the snowstorm. Yeah, I liked that part.
I think maybe I felt like I was like, oh, geez, like with these two, just because like they, when they get to that snowstorm, which, you know, thank goodness for snowstorms in romance novels and broken carriages and, you know, and
having to spend the night alone somewhere
and in with only one hotel room and, you know, all these things. Yeah,
with only one room left. So they have to pretend like they're man and wife.
God bless you. I think maybe just because, like, when they hit that snowstorm, like, it's just this explosion of, like, okay, we're going to do this position and this place, and we're going to do it on the couch, and we're going to do it standing up, and we're going to, that's just, like, all
and
at once.
You have never-ending energy.
Yeah.
However, at least I felt in this book, it had been building up for a while.
Yeah.
Because he really, really, really wanted to do it on their wedding night, and she got angry and wouldn't let him do it on their wedding night. And so then this whole thing is building up, and she had wanted to do it before and then got mad at him. And so as soon as she wasn't mad at him, I think this whole...
Yeah. And so, I think because there needed to be, you know, at least the way that the author had it, there needed to be kind of a period at the end where they were also kind of pissed at each other again. She was probably just like, okay, let's just put all of the sex scenes like right in this block. And I think maybe, well, that's where I was.
I don't mean to pick on you, but you've also never been a newlywed.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for rubbing it in.
I love you anyway.
Yeah, thanks. No, I get that, but I don't know. Just like, yeah, book wise, it just seemed like it was just like all concentrated in this like one section of the book where I was just like, geez, this is just like one sex scene after another.
Well, and that's what made it kind of weird when he got all like all of a sudden he was super mad at her. They'd had this great relationship building up. I mean, they'd been having sex like crazy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's just like, I can't trust her. There's no way. Yeah. She's trying to double cross me. It's like, dude, calm down.
Where is this coming from? We were fine. Like,
figure this out a little bit.
I like, though, that there was so many people that were, like, in his life calling him out on it. Like, you know.
Yeah, I loved his little friend who was like, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to shoot it with you straight. Like, stop. Obviously, she
you're
cares
wrong
about you. I think that's kind of what, like, you know, what I was saying with that he was so quick to, like, misjudged the situation. I think I was able to forgive it because the author was obviously aware, and she had so many people in the book that were just like, why is that where you're going right away? Like, I don't think that's what she's trying to do. So I think that made it fine for me. Okay, and then the last question, this is just kind of a fun question I had for you. If you had to wear Gilded Age clothing or Regency clothing for the rest of your life, which would you pick?
They all seem just really miserable. Well, Regency, so I'm picturing Lizzie Bennet.
Mm-hmm.
That seems more comfortable to me than the... I mean, they still... You know, had corsets and things,
yeah. But like the Empire waists and stuff like that. I think Gilded Age clothing was more flattering. And like I said, I watched Hello Dolly last night, and I think I would go with Gilded Age clothing just because I love those freaking epic hats that they would wear.
You want a big old hat. And it would be... I think it would be more fun to wear the Gilded Age clothing for just the glamour of it.
Yeah.
But comfort-wise, Yeah, I'd go with Regency.
That's probably true. But they probably had, like, kind of laying around house dresses, right? In the Gilded Age?
I would assume. Yoga pants.
That's, you know, I love my yoga pants.
I don't know, Ellen. I don't know what they is. Always seems like they were dressed up. I don't know. Maybe we're not seeing the, I don't know.
Yeah, where's that? Where's that in the movie? Come on.
Where's the Saturday afternoon binge watching something?
Could be binge reading something.
Could be binge reading. That's what I do.
Okay. So that, any other thoughts on Magnate?
No, I did like it, and I am going to finish the series.
Yeah, I think I'm going to finish the series.
You steered me wrong, and I have to go back and read that other book.
I think I'm going to finish the series as well. I really liked the setting, and the other, I'm interested to get to the newspaper man. I don't know why I like newspaper man men in these Regency era books, but.
Because you're a writer.
Yeah,
that's maybe true. Yeah, this one's about her. The one I'm reading now is about her brother.
Yeah, I knew that he was the second one, but yeah, I'm excited to read those books. So I really liked it, and I hope you did too, if you read along with us. So those are our thoughts on Magnate by Joanna Shoup, and we would love to hear from you on our Facebook page. I created a Goodreads group. You can follow us there. You can talk to us on Twitter, which is Not Your Mom's Rom. Or you can email us at notyourmomsromancebookclub@gmail.com. So if you want to read along with us and email us your thoughts, or if you would like to suggest a book for us to read, we'd love to hear from you. Next time we're going to be discussing Matter of Class by Mary Bellog, mainly because I want Mom to read it. It's a novella, so I'm going to give you a bit of a break for this next episode.
Oh, good. I'm sure I won't read hardly at all the next time.
Yeah, I'm sure you won't have read 8 books in its place. So for now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about the draw of historical romances. Hi, everybody. This is Ellen with your contemporary spotlight for the week. So this week, I actually wanted to talk about a book that's probably considered more to be chick lit or women's fiction. But reading The Hating Game, which I also sort of would put maybe into that category, got me thinking about this book that I absolutely loved. It's called The Nanny by Melissa Nathan. Melissa Nathan was by far and away one of my favorite chick lit authors when I was reading chick lit in high school. I think she's so funny, and her writing is sweet and insightful, and she actually sadly passed away at a pretty young age, so I was really sorry to lose her and more of her books. But The Nanny is about a girl who kind of leaves her small town and her family and her boyfriend, her longtime boyfriend, to go and work as a nanny in London. And there she kind of gets embroiled in some of the family drama and may or may not meet their stepson that may or may not be attractive, and she may or may not have sparks with him. But you guys know the routine. She obviously does. Anyway, I just really love this book. It's always been one of my absolute favorites, and I go back and read my favorite parts several times. It's a really good one, and if you know, if you're into women's fiction or chick lit, I really encourage you to check this one out, because I don't feel like Melissa Nathan kind of gets the notice that I always thought she deserved. So check it out. Thanks. Bye. And please don't mind my dog making lots of noise in the background of this. Bye. And we're back to try and pin down exactly what it is about historical romances that we love so much. So, Mom, what are kind of some of the things that you think kind of at least draw you to historical romances, and why I can't get you to read contemporaries? Talk to me.
Well, it's not that you can't get me to read contemporary. You think that they're steamier and you don't want me to read them.
Well, there are some that are a lot steamier.
That's why you always steered me towards historical romance.
Well,
so don't blame me.
No, I just felt like it was more of a natural progression to get you into historicals. I guess, like, the thing with you and contemporaries, that I feel like a lot of the contemporaries that I read are, I don't want to say cheesy, but, because I don't think that they're cheesy, but I think that they could be construed that way, maybe. They're a little bit more Hallmark movie-ish, and you're not always a fan of that. And if they're not Hallmark movie-ish, then they're pretty steamy. So,
is there bad language in them?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, not, like, sometimes. Any more than you read in my group text messages with you. No, maybe, but I would definitely say, like, you know, they're a little coarser in the bedroom language and stuff like that sometimes.
So definitely don't listen to a contemporary on an Audible.
At least not with me in the car. I don't care. I don't care what you do in your private life, but yeah, we'll get you to read some. Maybe I'll make you read one for the next time.
next time.
But yeah, so what do you think it is that, I mean, it's not just us, right? It's like a thing in the genre that people just love historical romances. So what do you think it is about reading something that's set in a different period that, you know, we like?
Well, I know for me personally, and I don't know if this is everybody, but for me personally, I'm just a huge history nerd. I've always loved reading, even before I started reading historical romances, I would read a lot of, like, historical fiction.
Historical mysteries. A lot of
mysteries. You know, like I said, the Sebastian St. Cyr books and a lot of Anne Perry. Mm-hmm. And all of those are set in the same, like, time period and areas that the books that we read are set. You know, I love watching that stuff on TV. I love I love those kinds of movies. I just love that kind of historical view of things. Why? I don't know. I like, I don't know. I'd like to say it was a simpler time. I don't know what it was. There's a lot of stuff in those things that I think, gosh, if it was today, this would be so much easier. You know, like talking about the inheriting titles and things. And it's like, gosh, that just seems like such a, or the way women were treated. It was just horrible. I mean, it's horrifying sometimes. It's like really frustrating. That doesn't appeal to me. There's a lot of things I think, wow, if this was set today, it would be so much easier. It's just, I think, fun to read about a different period of time than we're in. It's kind of easier to lose yourself in the genre when it's not
someone, you know, down the street.
Yeah. Oh, I hope it's not someone down the street. But I think it's easier to kind of be swept away in what you're reading.
Yeah, when that's, it's probably not true. Yeah, because I just love, like, the setting, and I think because, I mean, and then especially with, like, Regency or even this series that we just read this week, I think, you know, it's also usually people who are wealthier than...
It's always people who are wealthy, and they always have these huge grand houses on these ginormous estates, and it's like, wow, that's, you know, that's fun to read about.
Yeah.
Not reality in any way. I mean, it's almost, you couldn't even call it historical fiction. It's more like fantasy.
Yeah. Because, you know, last week we talked about some of the kind of harsh realities of the hygiene and stuff. So I was just curious as to, like, well, what is it? Like, if that, you know, if they were living, if that was the case, like, what is it that makes it seem so romantic? Like, you know, that, but I think it is, like, kind of, like you were saying, just, the otherworldly, just because it's different than our time, and...
Well, and I think, too, there were very set rules for the way men and women interacted.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, the rules are all over the place, you know, there's not, it's not quite as, you know, set in stone as to how a woman should be treated and, you know, how a man needs to act around a woman. And, you know, like you said, the whole thing with the chaperones and all that stuff. But they were very set, and almost that makes me think maybe authors are drawn to it, writing about it, because it's easier to write when you've got a certain set of rules that you're writing within.
Well, and then certain set of rules that they usually get to break in
right.
a lot of different ways, right?
Right.
And I was thinking, because even sometimes I don't always like to read historical romances that were written even in, like, the 80s and 90s, just because I feel like the heroines and stuff that are being written in historical romances today are kind of bucking more conventions. They're a little more, you know, feisty and spunky and kind of combating the rules that was society was placed on them. Whereas I feel like sometimes when I read historical romances from, like, the 80s and 90s, they tend to be a little bit more, like, virginal and demure and
sheepish
and just kind of damsel and distressy more so than a lot of the heroines we see written about today. And I was also thinking about this because you and I have talked to you about this, but there's a book that Aziz Ansari wrote about dating today, and it's called Modern Romance, and he kind of talks a lot about dating today versus dating even just like 20 or, you know, 40, 50 years ago, and how it's just changed so much. And I think, I think dating today sucks. I hate it. So I do think that there, I was also thinking about the movie Austin Land, and when the guy and the girl are kind of talking about how it's like, you know, kind of like you said, the simplicity and the gentility and kind of like the manners. And then I think in the romances, they get to kind of buck some of that. But just having those in place where, like you said, they're not really in place anymore and kind of anything can go these days. So I think having some of those, you know, rules in place kind of makes it more fun to kind of see them wobbled a little bit in the books.
I also want to, and I don't want to sound too old school, but I think there were very staunch roles back then for men and women, and that's why men were supposed to treat women a certain way. And in having lost that, we've kind of emasculated men today, and it's hard. Well, even like with you, there's certain guys I think, oh, I would never want Alan to date a guy like that because, you know, like, they don't open doors for girls and they don't, you know, there's gentlemanly qualities that have just really gone by the wayside. And I think that's, I think it's sad. And I think in some ways maybe feminism is, I don't want to say I don't want to get into political
yeah,
arena.
Don't.
But I think that, you know, I think men today are, it's almost like they don't even know what's expected of them anymore because, yeah. You know, but it's been taken away from them. And I don't know. It's frustrating because I see, I mean, my boys aren't that way. My boys are good boys. But and they're both very good to their wives. Both of my boys are really, really good husbands. Probably better than, like, I don't know where that even came from, but you don't always see that with a lot of young men out there. And
yeah, and I do think it's interesting that, like, the men in these books are always so alpha, usually, like, it is.
Yeah.
And kind of like you're saying, and I think it's definitely possible to have feminist women with alpha, you know, men. I think that that's...
Absolutely.
And I think that's also another thing that I like about romance novels being written today is it's still, like, progressive and forward-thinking women with men who also kind of always respect women and, you know, are right. protective and know their kind of place also as a man. So I think that's what I like. Anyway, we got real there for a second.
Sorry, I didn't need to go into that kind of territory. But right. it's one of my frustrations today. I think I don't know. I like seeing men be gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I think that's going away, and it makes me sad.
Yeah. I mean, they still exist, I think. It's just harder to find them. Speaking from experience. Okay, so I think that'll do it for us for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Again, if you would like to join us for A Matter of Class by Mary Balog in 2 weeks, you can find us on Twitter at NotYourMomsRom or on Facebook or Goodreads, or you can email us at NotYourMomsRomanceBookClub@gmail.com. All right, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye.